Our scripture reading today will come from Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I mentioned earlier the first Sunday of the year, and quite often I do preach a psalm on the first Sunday of the year, and we're going to do that today. Psalm 121. Some years ago, I started a series on the first Sunday of the year on one of the Psalm of Ascents, and this is one of the Psalms of Ascents. Psalm 121. You can find the scripture reading on the insert of your bulletin. On the back side of the outline is the scripture reading from Psalm 121. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Thus, the reading of God's word from Psalm 121. I encourage you today to have the psalm in front of you there as I put it on your outlines, and then follow the outline as well as best you can as you listen to God's word proclaimed. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, Psalm 121 is one of the most beloved and memorized psalms in all the scriptures. And to many of us, it is known as the traveling psalm. There are many people who have used this psalm in terms of their family out on a travel or going somewhere on a trip. I've known families that when the kids were ready to go off to college or to serve elsewhere apart from the home, the parents would gather the family together and read Psalm 121 before their departure. And truly, this psalm does speak of the protection of God's protection for his people. But this psalm is not only a traveling psalm, and if you understood it only as a traveling psalm, you would fail to understand the whole truth that God is telling us in this psalm. For while it's true that the psalm speaks of the traveler, the traveler in this psalm is going to a specific place. He's not just going on a trip to see grandpa and grandma or off on a vacation somewhere. To the Old Testament traveler, the psalm is a psalm about traveling to Jerusalem to worship the Lord in the temple. And for the New Testament believer, it is about the New Testament believer who is traveling towards his home, his Father's house in heaven itself. Let's look then, first of all, at some of the historical background to this psalm in terms of its placement in the Psalter as a psalm of ascents. You notice that the title of the psalm is worded as Psalm of Ascents. There are 15 Psalms of Ascents in the Scriptures. And some of them were written by King David. Some of them say they were written by King Solomon. The one before us is one that we do not know the author. But the word ascents in Scripture means to go up. That means it is a psalm that was often used by the people of God as they traveled toward the city of Jerusalem to worship the Lord at the temple. And during the time of David and Solomon, these psalms were used by the Israelites and sung as they traveled toward Jerusalem for the annual pilgrimage to either go to the temple and offer their sacrifices to the Lord, or the times of the year where they would travel and celebrate the feasts, such as the Feast of Tabernacle or the Feast of the Passover. And yet some of these psalms of ascents were composed later and sung by the exiles as they returned back from Babylon, returning back to Jerusalem where they would rebuild the temple and worship the Lord again in Jerusalem. whatever the time period of this particular Psalm of Ascent, in both cases, the Psalms were used by the people of God as they were traveling to Jerusalem, ready to worship the Lord in his house. With the end of their pilgrimage in mind, that being the city of God, Jerusalem and its temple and its place of worship, the destination of the traveler is to be near and to worship God. He is going on a trip, a journey. As they traveled throughout the land towards Jerusalem, there was danger on the trip. Sometimes there were those who on that trip would be attacked by robbers, or because of the danger of traveling in the hot sun or the wilderness, anything could happen if they broke down. This is not a psalm written simply for a vacation or to see a relative. The destination of this traveler on his dangerous journey is the temple and the worship of the Lord. Well, as we look then at the structure of the psalm, as we look for some of the key themes in the psalm, it's important that we look and analyze this as a piece of poetry, for that's what it is. It is biblical poetry. And as we contemplate and think about biblical poetry, some of the ways we understand its key themes is to look at repetition within the psalm, within the poetry itself. There is clear repetition in this psalm, and it helps us understand the main theme of its message. One word that is repeated five times is the Lord's name. The Lord is mentioned five different times. We see the Lord mentioned at the end of verse 2. We see him mentioned two times in verse 5, the Lord, the Lord. You also see him mentioned in verse 7 and also in verse 8. Five times the Lord is mentioned. Translator of the English Standard Version has actually capitalized the Lord's name, giving it emphasis, helping you recognize how present the Lord is in the psalm. Another repeated word frequently in this psalm is the word kept or keep. Notice we see this repeated actually one more time than the Lord's name, six times. Again, as you look at the end of verse 3, it says, "He who keeps you will not slumber." Verse 5, "The Lord is your keeper." We see it also in verse 7. "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life," two times in verse 7. And finally, verse 8, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in." So as we look at the poetry, as we understand its key themes, we recognize that the repetition is essential. The Lord is repeated, repeatedly throughout the psalm. And keep or keeper is repeated throughout the psalm. And the object of the Lord's keeping is you, his people. This is emphasized by the fact throughout the psalm there is a clear center in its structure. If you start at verse 1 and you count down each line, you will count down 8 lines till it comes to verse 5. If you start at the end of the psalm, at the end of verse 8, and count up, you will count up 8 different lines. And that leaves one line directly, clearly in the center. Verse 5, "The Lord is your keeper." You see how the repetition of the psalm, the Lord, the repetition of the word keeper, and the emphasis on the object of the Lord's keeping is all summarized in that center line. The Lord is your keeper. You see, that is the main theme of this particular psalm. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord keeps, and what is the object of the Lord's keeping? It's you, the believer. That's the key theme of the psalm. But that brings us then to the flow of the psalm. As we look at a psalm such as this, we want to see more than simply just repeated words or the center line. There has to be a flow, a particular flow, a direction to the Lord's keeping. And as we look at the psalm in terms of its flow, you will notice that there clearly is a destination to the Lord's keeping. Again, as we look at repetition in the psalm, you'll notice that there is a key word that is repeated at the very beginning of the psalm and then repeated at the end of the psalm. And that word you see in verse 1 is the word come. The psalmist is asking, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? And then as you go to the very end of the psalm, verse 8, you can see that word coming mentioned again. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. You see, there is a destination to the psalmist in his coming. It starts out with a question, from where does my help come? And then the Lord is the one who keeps you. And by the end of the psalm, verse 8, the Lord will keep you, your going out and your coming in. And then look where you're coming into. The last line of verse 8. From this time forth and forevermore. Forevermore means eternity. In other words, the flow of this psalm indicates that the destination of the Lord's keeping you as you travel is just not a journey where you're going to see relatives from far away, or whether you want to read this and know the Lord's protection as the kids are ready to go off to college and you pray they'll have a safe trip. The destination of the psalmist is an eternal home, a place of forever. And we'll have more about that later in this sermon. The second point I want to make in terms of the flow of the psalm is the movement of the psalm in terms of the pronouns that we see. If you look at verses 1 and 2, you can see that that is in the first person. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. But as you go on to verses 3 and 4 and throughout the rest of the psalm, you see that the psalmist then, after the first two verses, speaks in the second person pronoun. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. As you go to verse 6, the sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep over your life, your going out, your coming in. It moves from the first person in the flow of the psalm to the second person. We'll see why in a moment. In the third point I want to make concerning the flow of the psalm is the movement from the present to the future. If you look at the verbs described in the verses 1 and 2, they are in the present tense. The psalmist is speaking about himself. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? He's in a present situation. He's lifting his eyes to the hills and he's asking and thinking about God's help. As you go to verses 3 and 4, you notice that it is in the future tense. He will not let your foot be slipped. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So the first two verses are present. The second two verses are future. The same pattern takes place at the end of the psalm. In verses 5 and 6, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. But as you go to verses 7 and 8, again, as you look at the verbs, they are in the future tense. The Lord will keep you. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your coming out and your coming in. Present, future. Present, future is the flow of the psalm. A stair-step journey. There are those who think that psalms such as this, the Psalm of Ascents, is patterned in a stair-step way, patterned to identify with the pilgrim who is attending worship at the temple, and they would have to climb a set of stairs, a stair-step journey to the top, to the place where to worship God. This is what we think of when we think of the flow and the flow of the Psalm of Ascent. We are looking at a journey that starts in the present and ends in the future. It starts on earth and it ends in heaven itself. That's the flow of the psalm. And that is emphasized by the very last line. Remember what we said? Present, future, present, future. And look at the very last line of verse 8. From this time, present, forth, and forevermore, future, present, future. The flow of the psalm emphasized in the very last verse. And as we are looking at a journey that begins on earth and ends in heaven, we begin now to look at the message of the psalm. Once we now have established its theme, its flow, we can understand God's message for all of us. What is the message of the psalm? Well, let us look at its details more carefully. The psalmist begins in verse 1 with a question. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? The psalmist begins with the fact that he's lifting his eyes to the hills. And what does this mean? Some people think that he doesn't know what's in the hills, that as the traveler is getting ready to travel towards Jerusalem, he doesn't know if there's an enemy out there, if there's robbers out there, if he might get attacked or whatever. And so he's fearful and he wonders, what is in the hills? But you see, we live in the Northwest and we are surrounded every day by mountains and hills. When you are out driving around Whidbey Island, you see any time of day, portions of the mountains and the hills, and you can't help it. But your eyes are drawn, whether it's Mount Erie or whether it's Mount St. Helens or Mount Rainier or Mount Baker or even the Cascade Range. Your eyes on a clear day especially are drawn to the mountains. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you cannot help but notice them as you drive and look around. When you look up at the mountains, you can't help but notice that the mountains are pointing a certain direction. Whether it's the volcanoes, which make it clear, or the Cascade Mountains and their jagged edges, the mountains are pointing up. The mountains cause your eyes to look up. The psalmist writes, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and his hills are directing his eyes to look up to God. He recognizes that the help that he needs will come from where? Look at verse 2. He answers the question. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. He looks up to the hills. He's asking the question, where does my help come from? His help comes from the creator of heaven and earth. God, the creator of the hills, the creator of the heavens and the earth is his helper. The creator, the one who made them all. He is the one who he looks to for help, and there is no one above or greater than him. In other words, when he looks to the hills as he gets ready to travel towards Jerusalem, his eyes, his focus is on the Lord, and that's where his help will come as he seeks to reach the end of his journey. God, the creator, the psalmist writes, is your helper. It is his helper. Well, as you go on to verse 3, you notice then that as he goes to verse 3, he describes what the fact that God is his helper will mean for his journey. Verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. As we look at these verses, one of the key questions often asked is, who is the psalmist speaking to in these verses? We pointed out earlier the flow of the psalm in terms of the pronouns. In the first two verses, he's speaking of himself. I lift my eyes. Where does my help come from? And now in verses 3 and 4, he's speaking in the second person. And who is he talking to? He will not let your foot slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. He will neither slumber nor sleep. Who's the you that he's speaking of? But you see, the psalmist has moved from I to you for a specific reason. Because within verses 3 and 4 is a very key word. And unless you look carefully, you can miss it in terms of your knowledge of Scripture and other psalms. It's found at the end of verse 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel. You understand the implication of what that means. He speaks of the Lord's help in terms of himself, but why is God going to help him? How does he know that God is going to help him? Because what does God do for his people, Israel? In this Old Testament context, Israel represents the people of God, the Old Testament people of God, the covenant people of God. And the psalmist knows as he looks to God that God cares for his covenant people. And he knows that because he is one of those covenant people, that God is going to protect him, that God is going to care for him, that God is going to be with him on this journey. And so he moves from the I to the you because the psalmist is no longer speaking just about himself or his own personal journey. He is now describing the journey for the entire people of God, the covenant people of God, the people of Israel. And notice how when he does that, he speaks of the Lord in terms of his help and his keeper because he knows how God takes care of his people. He knows what God will do for those whom he has saved from the land of slavery, from the land of Egypt, by the blood of the Passover lamb. Those who belong to the salvation people of God will be protected and cared for, and he describes it in the verses. Look at verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. That means that if you belong to God, if he has saved you and you're part of one of his covenant people, he will keep you from slipping and falling. A word that is used only a few times in the Old Testament. One place it is used is Deuteronomy 32, 34 to 35. And in that particular context, that is the song of Moses, where Moses is describing God's care for them as they journeyed through the wilderness towards the promised land. God enabled his people to reach the end of that journey. He did not let their foot slipped or be moved on that journey. God is the protector of his people. And guess what? What else does he say in verse 3? He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You see, in the Old Testament context, we recognize that there were false gods that the neighboring peoples believed in. And the peoples would think to themselves sometimes as if things would happen to them, that their God was slumbering or asleep. Perhaps you remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel when they set up the two altars and there was an altar to Baal and Baal's prophets were there and an altar to the Lord. And Elijah called the people to look and to say, who is the true God? If you can call Baal to send fire down from heaven and burn up the altar, then he is God. But if the God of heaven sends fire from heaven and burns down the altar or burns up the altar, then he is God. And when the prophets of Baal were dancing and singing to try to get Baal to respond to them, Elijah taunted them, saying, well, maybe he is sleeping. Maybe he is slumbering. Maybe he's not paying attention to you. Maybe you have to do something to get your God to respond. And of course, Elijah was mocking them because false gods cannot do such things. There is only one true God, and the God of Israel, the God of his people, does not slumber nor sleep. How often didn't you hear it said after a disaster like 9/11 or something like that, and people were asking these questions, well, where was God during that time? Was he sleeping? Was he slumbering? Was he not paying attention? The psalmist tells us that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. That means he is keeping his people in a way where he is keeping them forever. He preserves them. He doesn't let their foot slip. And we understand that when he speaks in this psalm about not letting their foot be moved, he is speaking more in terms of the eternal things than simply the earthly things. We've just recently heard stories in our own nation about Christians at worship, going to church to worship the Lord, and somebody or some people coming in with guns and people killed in a place of worship. Well, did God let their foot slip? Did God not protect them as God has promised? We recognize that what is spoken about here is more than just an earthly travel or an earthly situation, because their feet, when it comes to their journey to heaven, cannot be taken away and their feet cannot be moved. God keeps them. Whether they live or die in this world, he's not slumbering, he's not asleep. He keeps his people Israel. He keeps his covenant people, and their feet will not be moved off that path. If he is keeping them, he will bring them home to their eternal home in heaven. That's what the Creator of heaven and earth does. He keeps his people. He saves his people, and they belong to him. And so in verse 5, again, the emphasis: the Lord is your keeper. The Lord keeps his people. But now as we go on to verses 5 and 6, you notice he has again moved into the present. He's described how the Lord will keep them, but now in verses 5 and 6, he moves to the present. The Lord is your keeper, he repeats. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The right hand, second part of verse 5, is the hand of strength for the believer. The Lord is your shade on your right hand, the hand of strength, the hand of protection. But before we expand on the meaning of that shade on your right hand, let's look at verse 6 and how it expands upon that imagery. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now think about what's being described. They are on a journey in the wilderness. The Lord does not slumber nor sleep. And yet on the journey, he said, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. As they're out in the wilderness, they are exposed. There's no shelter. The sun shines upon them by the day. There's no hiding from it. The moon by night, there is no hiding from it. if there is something that comes upon them, where is their protection? Where is their shade? Where is their protection in the midst of that journey that they are on? And that's the meaning of the second line of verse 5. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. No one can hide from the sun. No one can hide from the moon's light at night. You can go inside, but you're still going to be under it. The Lord is the one shade of your protector, and the Lord's shade is the strength of your right hand. When you're in the wilderness, when you live in this world, you're completely exposed. There's nowhere to hide. The Lord is there. No one can take away his shade, his strength, his covering for you. When you're exposed, the Lord alone is your keeper. And that brings us to the last point of the psalm. The Lord will keep you forever. Now remember again the flow of the psalm. We started out with the present. Verses 3 and 4, we went to the future. Verses 5 and 6 is the present. The Lord is your keeper. And verses 7 and 8 is the future. In the last two verses of this psalm, we again move to the future, but this time he goes clearly beyond the earthly journey. He brings it, you see, into the spiritual realm. The Lord, verse 7, will keep you from all evil. That's the spiritual realm. He will keep over. The translation in the English Standard Version in front of you says, your life. Now, if you were to check into a King James Version, if you were to check into the New American Standard Version, you would see what I believe is a more accurate translation of that Hebrew word. I believe that when the modern translators like this one have translated it life, they are reflecting on what people have used this psalm for in the past, which is a protection for your life, for your earthly journey. But the King James Version and the New American Standard Version, I believe, rightly translates it soul. He will keep over your soul. You see, verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. That's a spiritual dimension, evil. He will keep over your soul. You see, this psalm is more than just about an earthly journey, a journey that is your vacation destination so you can arrive safely there and home, a journey to see relatives from far away so you can arrive safely there and home. This is about a spiritual journey by which you need the Lord's protection and care. He will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. You notice how it's emphasized twice. The repetitious word keep is mentioned two times in verse 7, keeping you from evil, and he will keep your soul. And that is the biggest factor on your journey. The Lord keeping you from evil, from doing evil things. That knowing that as you face evil, God is keeping your soul on the way to Jerusalem or on the way to your Father's house. And then verse 8 clearly brings us into the eternal realm. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Remember the repetition I pointed out in the flow of Psalm 121. A key word which I mentioned at the beginning in verse 1 And at the end in verse 8, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? The psalmist is looking to God for his help on this earthly journey, but it's a spiritual journey with a destination that leads to the house and the place of worship of the Lord. And he's looking for God's help on this earthly journey, but most importantly, this spiritual journey. And as he looks to the hills, and as he thinks of the creator of heaven and earth, as he recognizes that he lives in a sinful world, he's calling for God's help, and it's got to come from God. It's got to come from heaven. And God has sent his help. In the Old Testament, God sent the angel of death and the Passover lamb, and the blood of the Passover lamb was spilled on the doorposts so that the angel of death passed by. But in the New Testament, there is no need for a Passover lamb. For the true one Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come down to earth to die on the cross and to pay for the sins of his people once for all. Where does our help come from? The creator of heaven and earth, who sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to pay for the sins of his people. Because he has made you right with God, you are one of his people. He has brought you into relationship with him. The Lord has become your keeper, and because the Lord is your keeper, he keeps you from all evil. He watches over your soul on this journey. The Lord will keep you as you go out and as you come in. See the connection? Where does my help come from? Verse 1. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Going out from what? You're coming in from what? As you look at the translator or the commentators on this passage, I read one that said, well, this is the Lord watching over your life. As you go out to work each day, as you come back from work each day, the Lord will keep you safe. Well, that's true, isn't it? But as you go to the last line of verse 8, keep in mind that in this poetic verse, the last line is helping us interpret the middle line of verse 8. From this time forth and forevermore. From this time forth, the present, into forevermore. The Lord is your keeper from this time forth, the present, into forevermore. The Lord is going to keep your going out of the present until you're coming into the forevermore. The Lord is going to keep you of your going out of the physical realm all the way to the destination of your final journey into the forever realm of eternity forevermore. That's the flow of the psalm. The key theme, the Lord is your keeper. The flow of the psalm, he is your keeper on this journey. This journey that is a earthly journey, yes, but in all of its fullness, as the psalm indicates, a spiritual journey, an earthly journey through a sinful and a wicked world by which God keeps his people through his Son, Jesus Christ, who he has given salvation, his covenant people, the New Testament church. He leads you and keeps you all the way to that final end, to that journey that ends with God in heaven. No matter where you travel on this earth, God is with you. That is true. There is nowhere where you can be apart from his love. You are totally exposed as the sun shines on you during the day or the moon by night. He is the shade at your right hand. And the whole truth of this psalm is that he is with you on this spiritual journey from earth to heaven, going out of the physical realm, even into the spiritual realm, the physical body unto fullness of eternity in heaven. He brings you in your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I am the way, the truth, and the life. For you to go out of the present and the physical, and you're coming into the future and forever with him. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this psalm, which reminds us of who we are in Christ, that our Savior has come to earth and has paid for our sins, that we recognize that he is our keeper, that our journey is not just a physical journey on this earth, but we identify with the psalmist who understands the spiritual journey that every believer must go through. We rejoice, O Lord, that the Creator of heaven and earth has sent his Son, help from heaven, to save us from our sins. We rejoice that no matter where we go in this world, our feet will not be moved. For you do not slumber nor sleep, but you keep your covenant people, your people Israel. That as our keeper, you identify with your salvation in our hearts, as the shade in our right hand, that whether it be during the day or at night, when we are exposed with no help, you protect us, you guide us, you keep us from all evil, you keep watch over our soul. Father, we pray that in this present life, as we go out, you would be our keeper. That in this present life, as we look forward to the coming in to forevermore, that we would have confidence that in Christ Jesus, our souls are safe and secure, and that you will bring us to our eternal home. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.